Markets are still talking about trade opportunities, what's happening in Washington, D.C., and the border not reopening. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. On location, the National FFA Convention is underway, and we are in the booth on the expo floor with the folks at Nutrien Ag Solutions. Arlen Suderman's joining us today with StoneX, and let's start out with those overnight chatter that we heard that China had made another bean purchase. This was roughly, give or take, three cargoes, though we don't really know how much because the government's closed.
Yeah, exactly right. No flash export sales reports while the government's in a partial shutdown, and no weekly export sales reports during a government shutdown. So maybe some time before we get the actual details. But COFCO, the state grain buying agency, if China did acknowledge that they bought three cargoes of U.S. soybeans, it's largely seen as a goodwill gesture, and we'll take it. But when you compare it to goodwill gestures that they've made in the past, which would be typically 10 to 15 cargoes. This seems pretty small. Overall, we're hearing some rumors in the industry that perhaps the deal we'll hear about tomorrow might be 30 to 50 million metric tons of soybeans bought from the United States over a three-year period of time. That's a fraction of what they used to buy from us. Although, granted, they've been trending lower, and frankly, I think it's probably 30 to 50 million metric tons more than they would buy without an agreement. But I'd say the positive out of it is that it would help bridge the gap until we're able to get the biofuel infrastructure built up for that domestic demand. And it's probably enough to even encourage some expansion of soybean acreage and let us decrease corn acres in the coming year, if, in fact, that is actually what happened.
So you look at that. I mean, we know this meeting is going to be held tomorrow, and there's a lot of bated breath, shall we see, as the two presidents sit down. How fast do you think we might hear anything that's been happening?
Well, I anticipate we'll know a lot by the time we open our offices tomorrow morning, because this will obviously be overnight tonight that the two of them meet in South Korea. Our time overnight, Thursday, their time. So I anticipate we'll know a lot by tomorrow morning. The question in my mind is, how long will it be before President Trump accuses China of violating the agreement and puts tariffs back on? I think that's the big concern. Probably the biggest sticking points are going to be rare earth minerals and magnets. China allegedly offering to suspend their restrictions of rare earth minerals and magnets for 1 year. I don't see them keeping to that agreement. The other is going to be on the chemical components that go into producing fentanyl, and China restricting that. Again, I question whether China will keep to that agreement. So I think we need to do business while we can do business, because I'm assuming that as soon as the Trump administration senses a violation, they'll be prepared to put tariffs back on.
Well, then, you know, I find it unique, Arlen, because, I mean, you look at the work that's been done just over the last couple of days with the Asian nations surrounding China, almost like a, hey, we're working with the United States, why aren't you?
Well, you're exactly right. And I think when you look at all of these agreements that President Trump signed over the last week with a number of Southeast Asian countries surrounding China, just trying to contain China. And I would anticipate many of these agreements have word in them that have include tariffs on transshipments where China tries to go through these countries, as they frequently do, to access the U.S. market, further trying to control China. I think he's built some strong relationships. Many of these countries also are dependent upon the trade routes that go through the South China Sea that China has claimed as its own. So there's a number of things that President Trump is doing that's giving him some victories to set the tone ahead of tomorrow's meeting. But I also sense that President Xi of China is showing a much different attitude after last week's fourth plenum meeting, which is the meeting of the Communist China of the Communist Party of China. And perhaps he's indicating some weakening of his support base in China with the economic problems they're facing, and trying to get some of the international waters calm so he can focus on domestic issues.
So other than that, I mean, harvest, we don't know. We didn't get a crop progress report again this week. How much do you see continuing out the government shutdown affecting what you guys try to do? in your role?
When the government shuts down, the private industry continues to put out estimates, and the market trades off of that. But over, we know that USDA, whether right or wrong, USDA is considered the truth in the trade. And so the question is how much is the private industry getting away from what USDA is eventually going to print, whether it be the size of the crops, their supply and demand estimates, et cetera. And so the longer we go, the more we set the stage for a possible big surprise by USDA when that was. I think we're already at a point where the November WASDE crop report is at least delayed, and we're rapidly approaching the date by which it will too be canceled. And then we'll have to look to the December report. And that's leaving us in a big vacuum, particularly when you look at questions around Chinese buying right now.
So, Arlen, switch gears and look at the livestock side of it. All week, I mean, we've been hearing, oh, the border's going to be opening. There's some negotiation and talks happening. But now we hear from the USDA that, no, there's no date that's been set.
Yeah, and Mexico had reportedly been in Washington trying to negotiate a reopening of the border, and that had been part of what contributed to the sell-off that we saw. We're still seeing comments from President Lula of Brazil that we could have an agreement with the United States to lower those 50% tariffs within a few days, and that could significantly increase the supply of beef coming into the United States. But the bottom line is still the supply of cattle is tight. If the Mexico border remains closed, that continues to keep the supply of cattle going into feedlots tight. We know that consumer demand continues to be strong, record high, and continues to exceed the supply. And so now that we've washed out a lot of the speculative funds who were worried about the Trump headline, we're starting to reflect some of the supply and demand fundamentals once again with a bounce back in the live cattle and feeder cattle futures today.
So can we hope the free fall for cattle might be over for a little bit?
We can hope. I don't know that we have confidence of that yet. But we're all obviously going to be watching the cash cattle trade the rest of the week. We did see some feeders who had hedged positions take advantage of the big drop in futures and grabbed some basis opportunities yesterday, mostly about $8 lower on the week. But now things have quieted down once again as the futures have bounced back. I think the feeders feel like they have the leverage at this point with the tighter numbers, with the packers fighting over those existing supplies.
What about for the hogs? They're on their own individual struggle bus, shall we say.
Yeah, early in the day, we were seeing strength in the hogs, but we finished with mostly red on the screen. The general expectation here, and they had been kind of following the cattle market, but the general expectation is here that we're going to see continued increase in supplies here in the fourth quarter, which is going to put downward pressure on the cash market. And we're also seeing some weakness in the product market, too, with that increase in supplies.
So we got to jump in, Arlen, before we even wrap up. You just received a Fed statement. Is there going to be another 0.25% drop, or what did you hear from them?
Yeah, another 25 basis point rate cut announced today by the Federal Reserve. And in addition to that, they had been shrinking their balance sheet by when debt certificates would mature, they wouldn't renew them. That was allowing their balance sheet to drop down. That's the amount of stimulus that's in the economy created by the Fed as they essentially print money and inject it into the economy. But what we're seeing is some tightness where the demand for treasuries was not matching with the supply of treasuries. The supply of treasuries being driven by deficit spending by Congress. And so the Federal Reserve is coming back to repurchasing now Treasury certificates, and that should help the demand for those debt certificates and help contain interest rates, particularly on the longer end of the yield curve.
All right. Thanks so much, Arlen. Arlen Suderman joining us today with StoneX. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that is the Wednesday market wrap-up from the National FFA Convention and Nutrien Ag Solutions. This is the American Ag Network.